I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 208 for April 15th, 2019. I hardly want to stop. You're doing bunny hops. You're like playing a lot of...
it's almost Easter.
It's like Counter-Strike over there at your house. Because that's what they do in Counter-Strike.
It's almost bunny Easter.
Hop. Yeah, it is almost Easter. You like Easter? Hop. Are you a fan? You like Easter?
Yeah, I like Easter. Got my Shinobi Easter pink shirt on.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you celebrate Easter, is you put on a Shinobi shirt?
Yeah, don't right. you?
No.
That's what everybody does.
No. Is this Shinobi like the old Sega
what do you,
video game?
What do you do? Paint eggs?
Paint eggs, yeah. All right, draw on eggs. Sometimes we just do black and white like Sharpies on eggs. Is that weird?
Right. Do you like to go out, do you like to do the eggs and then go show them to the roosters and go, look what we did when you're young?
No, I like... No, because Carter would freak out if we did that, even now. When she's old enough to understand, she would still freak out. So we don't do that. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's good to be back. Boop episode 208 with me, Scott Johnson, and Brian Dunaway. We got... stuff to talk about, video game related, and it's all good in the hood. Man, I picked up some fun indie stuff this week that I had a hard time deciding which I was going to talk about. So I went ahead and settled on the two, because we usually do two each, and I settled on the two that I think are the closest to what I wanted to talk about, but the one I'm cracking open now, I'm going to talk a lot about next week, and I feel like I shouldn't like it, but I do.
Oh, you like it. Hey, I know the show is live and all, but I have somebody at the back door. Hold on 1 second, right back.
Go get it. Quick. Run.
Be right back.
All right. He's going to get the door. I'm pausing the audio. Everything fine? Your neighbor? What'd your neighbor need?
No, I'm picking. I was actually supposed to, I had some, hey, so the UPS man, he comes today and he gives me a package, right? He's like, oh, here's your package. I'm like, sweet.
That's what they do.
Actually, he already left. I was expecting two things in my mail today from the UPS man.
What'd you get?
And I got two packages, and I opened one, and I'm like, I pour it out, and it's a bunch of ducks with mustaches. And I'm like, I didn't order
what?
Ducks with mustaches.
Hold on a second. Like rubber ducky? Like what were
yeah,
they?
Yeah, like little rubber duckies with like little hats on, little sombrero kind of little hats and little mustaches and some kind of banner thing. I'm like, what is this?
What are they,
like,
I look at the racist front. Ducks is what they were? Racist Mexican ducks?
I don't know
ducks?
What they were. But I looked at the front. I looked at the front of the envelope, and I'm like, 112, and it was like a different street. And I'm like, what? That's not. They delivered to the wrong people. And,
that's really weird. You should have taken a picture of it or something.
I didn't want to do that because actually, I ended up having like 12 mutual friends with this individual, and so I reached out to him and said, "You want me to send this back to UPS, or do you want to come pick it up?"
12 mutual said, well, friends. What's the difference between 12 mutual friends? A box of ducks and two phone calls.
Right. So I thought that was them. They weren't supposed to be here yet, but I thought it was them. It was not.
Yeah.
So anywho, that's what happened to my UPS today. Oh. Got my package though. It had they combined them into one package for the two things I had. So.
Well, what did your? But hold on, I'm still confused. But what did your neighbor actually need? Did he need something that was important?
No, it wasn't my neighbor. I was just
oh. All right.
Well, I was picking that. But my neighbor always does come knock on my door. But
you have a what's the word I'm looking for? You have a magical life, Brian. That's just
I have a magical life indeed. Now you were playing video games before I was so rudely interrupted.
Well, I wasn't really playing them, but I was going to talk about them, and I'm going to do it right now. Check this out, guys. I picked up a little game called Dawn of Man. Are you familiar with Dawn of Man, Brian?
I think I've seen the Dawn of the Man. This is that indie game by those people that do the thing now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
Dawn of Man is a small, very focused little city builder game that is set, as you might guess, in the era of the Dawn of Man. So we're not talking about, basically the starting area or the starting state of Age of Empires. Okay. So imagine that. It's all huts and go spear a couple of elephants and let's feed our village and let's go fishing and, you know, all the basics of sort of survival as a brand new society. Okay. That's what this game is focused on. That's the entirety of it. Now, you might say, here's what I came away with. My feeling is that it is a cross between Age of Empires and not because it's an RTS, because it's not. It's not like there's no combat. Well, there is some combat, but it's a different kind of combat. But there's something about it that feels like that to me. And the
it's got the same color palette and is kind of like Age of Empires 2, like graphics wise looking almost. Kinda,
except it's 3D and, you know, fully rendered out and stuff. But yeah, like there's some similarities. The dudes say little things when you zoom into them. You don't even have to click them, but nobody says
lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo.
But they say similar things. They has this cool zoning system for when you want to send them people out to gather, like gather sticks, bring back wood, bring back stone. Instead of clicking on a dude and right-clicking a thing, instead you put a big circle out in the middle of nowhere where the stuff is, and then the workers just automatically do it. Now, you can assign them if you want to kind of micro that way, but I really like that it kind of automates a lot of that stuff that can be otherwise kind of boring and
That was
tedious.
The most exciting part I remember about Age of Empires 2 was just being able to go, these guys will know what they're doing. They'll go back. I don't have to micromanage as much.
Yeah, not nearly as much. And this one, even less so. I don't even have to click a guy. All I got to do is make a circle and a bunch of them pick up hammers and head out there. Same with hunting. I can choose to hunt different game and stuff. And my guys will go out and hunt. Now, here's what I really like about the game. It's the other game I would cross it with is Age of Empires and Banished. Did you ever play Banished?
No.
Okay. Banished is not that old, few years old, but it's a similar kind of thing, except you're kind of turn of the century, late 1800s.
Late eight.
It's a brand new movie coming out. It's the late eight. And it's set, or that game was like all survival stuff. Like the winter's coming. We're all going to die. Like it was hard. That game was hard. It was not very forgiving. And was supposed to feel like the awfulness of trying to survive in a wilderness with very little resources, people getting sick all the time, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Dawn of Man is way more focused on, I think, the fun of a game like this and watching your stuff grow and advance and get better. You never get better than Dawn of Man time better. Like you don't suddenly enter the Iron Age and go,
you're not civilization, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of that Civ stuff, none of that advancing your civilizations, that stuff is not part of this. It's just a, you know, build more huts. Oh, you need to tan your leather so you can make better clothes for the winter. How you do that? You build leather drying things, racks. That costs money. That costs parts. That costs whatever. Got to get guys out there and fish, and then they'll come dry some fish. That'll preserve the fish for the long winter, that sort of thing. It did really well on Steam. It came out and stayed in the top 10 for quite a while. Might even be in the top 20 still.
Yeah, this came out March the 1st, 2019.
Mm-hmm. Still pretty new.
Brought to us by Madruga Works.
Madruga Works. Okay. Yeah.
Madruga Works.
And look, if it doesn't work, Madruga Works.
Madruga did it.
So I'm gonna say I think it's pretty great. Currently, actually, what's the price on it right now?
It's $24.99. No discounts right now. Did you ever play their old game, Planet Base from 2015? That looks like something you would have played.
No, I did not.
Guide a group of space settlers trying to establish a base on a remote planet.
I mean, it sounds like a fun. It sounds like this is what they do. They make these little, you know, little Civ games, little settler games. And I think that's a cool focus. I think what I like about this is it's not overly complicated. The UI is very self-explanatory. You know where you need to build resources for, building stuff or for commerce type stuff. You know where to quickly build things for manufacturing. Like part of the simpleness of being set in the Dawn of Man time frame means that you get access to a lot of sort of simple, you know, stuff to use on screen. So I really like it. And if you're into that sort of thing, it's a real chill experience. You also can speed it up and slow it down at any time, which is not unusual for these games. But I like that they assigned it to keys 1 through 4. Yeah. So when I'm on the keyboard, if I just want to go 8 times speed, that's the 4th key. I just whack it and then time speeds up for a little bit. And then I just whack it. Let me rephrase that. I don't whack it. I hit the key. Yeah, I hit the key. And then
whack, whack.
And then I can slow it down just as easy. The tutorial's excellent. It gives you all the basics really quickly and easily. Yeah, I don't have bad things to say about it. I really like it. Some might say that $24.99 is a little much for a game that never exits the Stone Age or whatever.
Right.
I get it. I get that that's
a thing. It
just
makes it to the... I think it says they promise going all the way up to the Iron Age, but, you know, that's 10,000 years of humanity.
Yeah. Huge manatee. Yeah, exactly.
Huge manatee.
Huge manatee is the only kind of manatee I like.
By the way, whenever I hear somebody say something about a keyboard and whack,
yeah,
I always think of the of people when they say, you know, you go to www, whack, whack, and it's like, no, don't call the slash a whack.
Yeah, don't slash your whack or whack your slash.
Yeah, don't whack your slash.
No.
Slash whack.
Never do that. Slash whack. Catch it. All right, Brian, tell me about The Surge. Now, here's the funny thing about The Surge. I also play The Surge. But I
did you really?
Yeah, and I didn't know you were going to play The Surge, so the fact that you're going to talk about The Surge is very exciting because I also played The Surge. So tell me about The Surge.
I played The Surge. Yeah. Wait, no, you tell me about The Surge. No, you first.
Yeah, you
tell me. So, okay, so this was free if you have the PlayStation The Plus, and I do have the PlayStation The Plus, and the developers are trying to Deck 13. They are coming out with a new Surge. Supposed to come out this year, Surge 2.
Oh, that's exciting. I wasn't sure how well the first one did, and it's nice to hear it did okay.
It did all right, and it has a very faithful following, and the people who like it really like it. And there's some good DLC stuff, too. I got my first taste of The Surge this past week, and I got to say, I like what they've got going on. It's an action, it's an action role-playing kind of game, and you start out... It kind of reminded me when I first started, I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of like how Half-Life started, you know, where you're in your little transportation there and you're riding along and you're getting a little bit of story and you're like, when's it going to start?
I should also mention something about that starting.
Yeah.
The thing they don't tell you, well, I mean, if you do your homework, you can find this out, but they don't tell you this anywhere. It's a Souls-like game. It's Souls games. So it's difficult. It's methodical. The battles are always very parry at the right moment, hit the weak spot, back up. Don't just go in there hammering buttons. You're going to die. And if you do, you're going to start way back there because there, and you got to go pick up your shit. Like it's one of those like hard games. It's very hard.
The progression is unique and difficult in that way because you do have the ability to upgrade your exosuit. So you get an exoskeleton right away at the very beginning of the game.
How'd you love that, by the way? Sorry to interrupt, but didn't you love that reveal where the camera backs out and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in a wheelchair. This is crazy.
I'm in a wheelchair. Yeah. I did because you're thinking, you're looking over the guy's shoulder and you think he's just sitting down. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden he whips out in his little wheelchair and you're like, oh, what's going on here now? Yeah. And so you wheel your way in and you got to find your little recruiting station because it keeps telling you got to go to a recruiting station. Okay, so you get to your little recruiting station and there's like all this pretense that usually this area is like heavily, you know, populated, but right now it's just you in your wheelchair and you want your exoskeleton so that you can basically join the workforce and you pick your exosuit and then you find out everything's about to go wrong. This big corporation that is at the heart of everything has been trying to fix the world and fix people and everything goes wrong. And you wake up and you're in your little new exosuit and drones are attacking you and you have to attack back. And like you said, the gameplay is really fun. I think that's probably the strong point of this game is it's kind of arcade-ish. Mm. I'm not used to it being so arcadey like when I'm playing my action.
It's arcadey. It's arcadey, but
You have to. It's definitely there's like a finishing move. And there's definitely attacks and parries, and you can pretty much, you can figure out the patterns. But it's good though, and it's very satisfying because what you're trying to do to upgrade to get to the next best, you're fighting against people who look like they're already dead because they've been infected with something. But they're not zombies. Mostly their mechanical bodies are doing all the work, and their bodies are just kind of in there like little puppets. And so you have to, if you want to upgrade your arm, you go against somebody with a cool arm, with some cool arm equipment, and you have to do a finishing move and remove that arm and then you can get it. If you don't remove it before you kill them, then everything just burns into like a little fire pile, and you get the scrap metal from it, but you don't get the equipment you may need, which is either going to be a weapon or maybe some type of defense, like a nice boot, mm-hmm. nice boot to cover your shins,
yeah, yeah.
So that the drones can't shoot you in it.
Did you get the, so you got the thick, big, fatty one, or did you get the little skinnier?
No, I went with, there was two choices. When you first start, you choose either like the heavy armored, or you can pick kind of a lighter armor. And yeah. I went with the lighter armor. I wanted to be able to run around and do my thing.
I did
and
too, but I can't tell if I'm going to regret that or not.
I've heard that, getting the lighter armor allows you to progress quicker in the start of the game. But then the end game is a little more difficult, whereas the heavier suit is better suited for in game, but you don't really reap the benefits early in the game, so it's kind of a trade-off.
Okay, and see that.
I went, because this is like a 70 or 80 hour game.
Yeah, it's big
worth of, yeah, there's a lot of grinding.
I've died a lot in this game.
Oh yeah, and that's part of the grinding is you don't really progress to an area and then it saves you and you can jump back to that area. It's more like you find your home base, then you progress through an area, then you have to unlock doors so you have a shortcut back to the facility so that you can also run in and out. But every time you do, the bad guys respawn, so you got to fight your way back through again, and you have to get back to your gear. If you get killed, you lose your scrap. You keep all your gear, but you lose your scrap and any like XP that you've gained so far. So you have to get back to it. The scrap metal is really important to do upgrade your equipment.
And you can have like yesterday I had 8,000 scrap metal and I died and it just sat in a pile and I had to go fight through to get it again.
Yeah,
it was hard.
Because it's so far away. So you can choose to bank that stuff. And I did that . The two options are kind of, you can either bank it. You can go back to your HQ and bank that. However, if you do that, you don't get the benefit of, if you keep, the further you go without banking it, the faster your XP increases. There's a little bit of ding for playing it safe, but I prefer to play it safe because I got tired of, you know, dying and having to go back and get my gear.
Yeah. It's the Souls games are like this too. They've yeah. incredible amounts of this backtracking as needed, you know, if you're sucking it, you didn't get it done, or you dropped your stuff and you got to go get it again. Like I'm not really a fan of those games. And generally speaking, this would have normally turned me off, but there's something about the world and the look. Yeah. I love how this game looks.
It's so rich. The world is, but there's really no real answers to anything. Cause at first I was playing really close to it. I was like, okay, what's this story? They're going to reveal something that's going to tell me something that I do need to do next. Nope. It's just you're hacking and slashing and grinding and just going through areas. And at one point, I realized I was fighting way too hard because I felt like, oh, I've got to kill all of these guys in this area so I can advance to the next area.
Right.
But eventually, I realized, oh, I can just pretty much skirt past these guys and I can just run past them and go, see you, suckers.
Yeah, you can get around them, and some of them don't have very good, well, early on, they don't have very good sight or sense, yeah, yeah. senses or whatever, so they can't tell that you're there, so you can kind of sneak past some of them. Sometimes they'll surprise you, though, and, like, charge you. Also,
right.
I went into this basement area because it sounded like, that'll have some sweet loot down there, and what it has instead is a lot of darkness, and I don't have the light mod yet. So I can't see shit, and I fought some boss down there who just gave it to me, and that's when I had to get out.
Did he have the big hammer?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I didn't make it to the big hammer, but I immediately did the same thing. I went down that way, and I hightailed it out of there when I realized I didn't have my bodysuit. Because the thing is, one of the things you got to do to get the lamps is you have to, when you're fighting the bad guys, you have to target. So you lock onto the character, and then you can pick what area you want to hit, like their arm, left arm, right arm, and different areas to get the equipment so you can harvest it. And the body was something I was not harvesting because I didn't think there was something to harvest there. I was obviously wrong.
Right.
Also, the head, I wasn't targeting anybody's head other than to kill them. I wasn't trying to collect anything because most of the first guys didn't have any helmets. So when you get a little further along, you can start getting some headgear.
Yeah, I had no, I didn't have a helmet for a long, long time, but I finally got one. Yeah. Actually, gear comes very slowly at first. You don't get a lot of drops.
It does. Yeah. But the Surge, I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. If you got PlayStation Plus, you can go ahead and grab it.
Yeah, it was on sale during that first week of that. They had it on sale on Steam for like $9.
I think it's still on sale. I think it's like 75% off right now.
No, I thought it was back up. Maybe not.
You might be right. You might be right. But yes, it's you can pick it up on the Xbox One. You can pick it up on Steam. You can pick it up on the PS4. And I think that's it. I think that's where they all are.
Yeah.
Maybe the Windows Store.
I think I'm going to go back and play more of that. I liked it.
I'm going back and playing more of that, too. It's too bad it's not a multiplayer game because I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying
it. Do a little bit of co-op.
I'm really excited about some of the DLC content. I like that there's like a park that you can also play. It looks really interesting. The environments look really good. Even though they're not destructible environments, there's very few things that you can actually destroy in the environments, which kind of gets weird because some of the maps are, there's a lot of debris, you know, but you can't go around it and you can jump only very limitedly. You have to sprint and then jump, and it's kind of a difficult move.
Yeah,
but it's got something there. It's definitely got something.
I agree. There's something in that thing. It's hard to explain. I don't like Souls likes, but for some reason that one's rubbing
but
my
cheese. Deck 13 did pretty good.
Nice job, Deck 13.
Way to go, Deck 13.
You've done it. You big decks. I screwed up the screen. Let me fix that. All right, let's talk about my next game. The game is called Pathway. And it is available on Steam. It is very much a small indie title. If you've seen the art of it at all in the Steam store, you'll know what I'm talking about when I tell you that this is like Indiana Jones meets XCOM with really cool pixel art, roguelike game loop in it. It's more XCOM than any of those things, though. The setting is very much like Indiana Jones era, like you got to stop the Nazis from doing this other thing, and it's always in the desert, and there's always, you know, some cool artifacts to find in the place that you're going to or whatever, and you take these heroes out and you can unlock more as you go, but they all have different abilities, different strengths. Again, very XCOM. You have overworld map where you do certain stuff, like go to an area, it'll pop up with some story content and say, oh, you've discovered a scroll. You should click the scroll. And then you open the scroll and it'll tell you something and say, oh, here's a treasure map to this cool place you need to go. And then it'll fly you Indiana Jones style on a big map. Like, they don't have music, but when you get there, then it tells you stuff you got to do. And then you go do it. Now, the actual combat of the game everywhere you click, you're not going to get combat. Some places it's just exploration stuff like, oh, here is a beautiful vista. And there's what we know about the history of it. And then you go to another spot and it's like, oh, in this place, there's a vendor who wants to sell you or give you a good deal on a certain whatever. Do you want to take the deal? It's that kind of stuff. Almost like Oregon Trail style.
Ooh.
And then when you get to one where there is combat or there's a mission to do, you enter like a camp or a bunch of ruins or whatever. And in this camp, in this area, it's all this great 16-bit looking 16-bit era art. I'm trying to think of a good example. You know the games, SNK made them. They were side-scrolling and you shot everything. Heavy Barrel. You know the Heavy Barrel games? Kind of has that vibe a little bit, although it's not side-scrolling. It's top-down. But then you get in there and then it's like, all right, you have a stage at the beginning where you can place your dudes and you can be strategic about that. And then once the match starts, and this is all single player, your person can move so far. You have an ability to make them run a little further, but then their turn's over. If they run just the initial run, you can hide them behind some cover.
Very XCOM.
Here's a little bit of high cover, low cover, whatever. And then they've got abilities, range shots, melee attacks, like all that stuff is straight out of an XCOM style game. And it's fun. It's, if you like that kind of combat, that's just fun by its nature. I really like the entire package. There's a lot more to it than I'm probably explaining very well, but if I have any complaint, it's that because it's procedural and it's generated in kind of a random way,
right?
You're going to sometimes start to feel like, oh, a lot of these activities are the same ish. Like, right. It's having me do a lot of, not repetition, straight repetition, but a lot of it's going to go, oh yeah, I kind of done this, did this one before. It seemed unique the first time, but now the third time, I'm not so sure it's that unique, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you build up your dudes, you get better stuff. You end up with more storage. Your Jeep has storage in it. That's what you travel on the overworld in. So you can carry more stuff in your Jeep.
Storage.
Yeah. Jeep storage. As well as character storage. There's loot all over the place. You can get a bunch of loot. If you're hearing me describe this, you know what kind of game I'm talking about, and you're either already interested or you're out. So I don't think there's much more to say about it, except I think it's pretty neat. Again, well, Pathway.
Developer is Robotality, and you can pick this up on Steam for $16.
Yeah.
And You think that's about the right price? $16?
Yeah.
$9.99.
No, I think $16 is good. I would expect a much lesser game for $10.
Right.
This is good. Yeah, it just
came out on April the 11th.
Yeah, it's new, newish.
Official. Mm-hmm. Yeah, newish.
Been a few days.
But man, the style alone is worth the $16 for me. Just to kind
Isn't
of explore
it cool?
this,
I know. It's really
this
cool.
world. Is just visually gorgeous.
And you roll dice even. Like, here's a screen we're on right now. It says, follow this enemy vehicle. If you hit that, it will actually roll dice to the success or failure of that mission. Or you can do something that's daring, the daredevil option. There's a little devil icon. And if you choose that, then you'll do the thing that is maybe it's guaranteed, but will cause a bunch of kerfuffle. Or you can just continue your journey and not mess with this truck that's going by. So there's
this
a lot
looks
of...
like some- Pathway. It looks like something I want to play on the Switch if they ever get there.
Yeah, or even a this would be good on a tablet or a phone because it's
tablet. Yeah,
it's all point and click. There's no there's different ways to do things, but it would lend itself really well to a touchscreen. And the Switch has a touchscreen; it would play well there. Anyway, I think it's neat. It's called Pathway, and I think it's worth looking at and available now. Brian,
look at it.
Tell me about Nova Drift.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about Nova Drift. I got a copy of this from the developer, and I got to say, I've had a lot of fun with this. It's it's kind of like if you were playing Asteroids, but it was RPG, and it looks way better than Asteroids. How about that?
I have this game too, and that's a fair description. My only thing I would say, the controller setup, I don't know about mouse and keyboard because I didn't try it. The controller setup is terrible.
I did not do the mouse keyboard.
It's a terrible setup for the controller.
It's not the greatest control I've had so far, but this came out the 27th, 2019. I believe there is some controller configurations you can change and stuff. But yeah, it plays a little bit like a dual stick shooter, but not quite close enough.
Well, it's the left stick. The left stick has you flying and turning. The right stick just has you. Actually, right stick doesn't get used for anything. So you are having to aim, fly, and everything with the left stick, which just doesn't feel right. It makes me feel super weird, and I don't like it. I wish that
you
was
like that.
Yeah, bugs me.
Well, I didn't. Well, the controls, they didn't bother me as much as they usually do. I felt like I got. It did take me a little bit to get into my groove, but it's another one of those games that's just so visually simplistic, but it's so fun to look at, and it's just it clicks all those endorphins in the brain because everything is just flashing just the right way. Everything has that kind of glow to it. All the artwork has like it really feels like it's got like that little nice little glow.
Yeah,
all the color,
you can get into real zen mode on games like this, which I like a lot. I like being able to just chill out to games like this. It's fun.
And I'll tell you, I love bullet hell games, and this has just a little bit of the bullet hell because you do get to upgrade your weapons and your shields. It's a very small section of that you can upgrade, but you can upgrade a lot and for a very long time. And actually can be distracting trying to upgrade. I kind of prefer bullet hell games where you upgrade on the fly. You know, you're like, oh, there's that element that I blew up out of that ship. I'm just going to fly over top of it. I'm upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, when you get to a certain point, it'll say, oh, upgrade available, and you can stop the game. Go through your tech tree somewhat, replace what you have or upgrade what you have, and kind of go to the next level with that. But Nova Drift is a really beautiful game, and it's very just, to me, it's just very relaxing. Just kind of.
It's my kind of thing, like absolutely my kind of game. I just need it to give me an option on that controller. If it will just let me do like normal dual stick, fire with the right, aim, or fly with the left, aim with the right, fire with the trigger.
Right.
That's all I need.
Agree. I think it would be better. I think you're absolutely right. I think that is a spot on look at that. I think maybe we should hit the developers up. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, can I change some controllers?
Yeah, yeah.
Change it.
Let us do it.
I can't imagine that the keyboard would be any more fun. But I just love all the little flashing things, and when you shoot something, it just
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just so satisfactory.
Yeah, it's got an arcade thing. I don't know how. I mean, I've never. Trying to remember how I felt about Asteroids back in the day when I was a kid, and you would leave one side of the screen and come out the other.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that as a mechanic. I feel like maybe I don't want that anymore.
It's still there, and I deal with it. I never liked it as a mechanic in Asteroids, and I don't really care for it here either because it's kind of confusing because it is a drift game. You know, when you propel yourself a certain amount, and you kind of drift a little bit, mm-hmm. and you turn around, and if you don't get enough acceleration coming back on the screen, you will float off the screen and go onto the other side, and it's rough because you'll be shooting at an enemy and you'll kind of just kind of go off the screen, and all of a sudden you're just shooting at the side of the screen. It's like, let me turn around. But maybe that's appeals for some people. Does it for me?
Well,
but I'm with you on that.
There you go. My game I'm going to play next week that I almost talked about this week is one I just want to get a little bit more time with, but I'm already sure I like it. This thing was in early access for a long time, as some people who listen to the show know. I'm kind of a sucker. I'm a sucker for like farming games.
Okay? Ooh, what?
I don't know why. Not the big sim ones. Don't care about Farming Simulator 2019. That's not my bag of shit. Don't care about that.
It's not my bag of shit.
what I mean is like Farm Together, great game on Steam, also on Switch. You create a farm. It's easy. It makes sense. You farm stuff. You grow trees. You harvest the trees. You have different seasons, different seeds, different whatever. I really like that. I really liked Stardew Valley. I really like Animal Crossing. I love those kinds of games where I'm collecting stuff and making more stuff and selling it and making tons of money, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know why. I just do. It's a subgenre I totally get into. Well, Staxel, which has been out for a while in early access,
first
put me off because the first time I ever saw it was before it was in full release, and I saw it and I went, oh, that looks like Minecraft. And someone said, well, you mostly farm and do other stuff. Yeah, but it looks like Minecraft. And there's something about the Minecraft look I don't want to be around. I guess I'm just sick of it. It's too, we've had it for too long. Minecraft is, my eyes don't like Minecraft anymore. I see something Minecrafty going on and I go, bleh. Give me some other aesthetic, right? I was wrong, actually. This is a really well-made, it is that still. It's like, you know, Minecrafty looking. Lots of pixels and voxels, and the characters aren't squares and rectangles, but they're still very, you know, it looks like 8-bit brought to life in a 3D environment. But what I love about it is straight up Animal Crossing / Stardew Valley in every other way. So it's got all the building and structure-y things and, you know, place the thing and craft the deal and water your plants and harvest them the next time they're out and then sell those in town and all those things. But it's also got all the story and the characters. And the go talk to that guy. He's got a quest for you. And do this before nighttime because you got to sleep while your plants are growing. It's good. So I'm going to say that's why I'm looking forward to talking more about it. I guess I'm already talking about it. I didn't mean to do this. But I'm going to say I'm going to say one negative about it. They use this ugly, it's not Comic Sans, but it's close. This ugly comic font all the time for UI stuff. I hate this font so bad. That it makes a little pee come out when I think about it.
I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm looking at that now. Ooh,
yeah,
I do love that.
Rough.
I'm telling you, man, I've seen a lot of great color palettes lately in video games, and this
has one of them.
It's very nice. Yeah.
So I'll talk more about it next week when I have a longer chance. But Brian's going to play that game called Boss Guard, which I've heard about. I don't know what it is though.
Yeah, Boss Guard is this next week is finally almost here, but I can't talk about it just yet. Because I think there's an embargo up until I think just a couple of days from now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an asymmetrical multiplayer game. I'll tell you that.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's gonna be guess what? You're gonna fight bosses.
Isn't this the people who made
Sand Sailor Studio made this, and they did Black the Fall, which I talked about here last year, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
and I hope there's gonna be more of that with this this Boss Guard.
The Fall, that's the one. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, yep. By the way, I meant to mention earlier also on Nova Drift.
Mm-hmm.
That's Chimeric. is the developer behind that, and I want to thank them for
sending it. Is it Chimeric or Chimeric?
Chimeric. I said Chimeric, didn't I?
Yeah,
Chimeric
is right.
How you say it.
It's totally fine. I say words wrong all the time.
I said the words wrong.
Let's play guess this game, or let's guess our games.
I'm going to guess it.
Segment on the show we do, and it starts with this.
It's a me, Mario.
I always laugh at that dumb thing. All right, here's mine, Brian. Let's see if you can guess it. Let's just say it's a close cousin to something we have played here before on Guess My Game. But you're, I don't know, might be a challenge. Here you go.
Who will challenge me?
Let the jousting begin.
Anything? Any you, ideas?
You say we've played that here before?
We've played its very close cousin on the show before.
Hmm. I'm going to need some era for this. What era are we in?
1986.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel lost on this one.
This? Let's see if the chat room's anywhere close. Oh, they're close. Joust 2. Joust 2.
Yeah, I never played Joust 2.
It's not just Joust, because Joust has no music. It just starts going, and then things come out, and then you fight them. There's they don't make the explosion sound when you land on an enemy, and it doesn't have this cool voice thing at the beginning.
Challenge me.
That guy. He's cool. And then
you
levels... wait, why did that play weird? Hold on.
Who will challenge me?
So
who will challenge me?
Who will challenge me?
Who will
and then later the girl goes, "Let the jousting begin." Or except,
yeah, I never played it.
Begin. It's kind of like what was the Altered State or Altered Beast? The guy would always go, "What do you say?" Oh, what do you say in Altered Beast?
Let me think. What do you say?
I love old video game voice chips. It's one of my favorite things, dude. Like Sinistar. And like those kind of games are like.
It reminded me of Sinistar. What you were playing kind of reminded me of Sinistar, but I knew it wasn't that.
It's just not. Oh, like stir forever. Like all that. It's even in our in our thing at the beginning of the show. It's just okay. Now, all of that being said, Joust 2 is not a great game. It's kind of it's a kind of a crappy sequel. They get some stuff wrong. Joust 1 is still the better Joust game, but it's worth checking out. But all right, Brian, I'm gonna play yours. You ready?
Play mine. I'm ready.
Okay, let's see if we can guess. Here we go.
Robin.
There's another one. Can I guess real quick here?
Oh, do you already think you know it?
Side-scrolling beat-em-up of some sort.
Yeah, gotta be.
It's either... I'm going to give you three options. It's either Bad Dudes.
Right.
Which,
by the way, I almost did, and I said, nah, he'll probably get that. I said, let me try something a little bit different.
Double Dragon or Final Fight.
Oh, those are all really good guesses.
They're all wrong, though, aren't they?
But not quite.
All right, let's try it again. Oops. Why isn't it... I love that car.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a punching game where they punch?
He does do some punching. He primarily does punching. This was based on a movie property.
Okay.
And you know what? I'd buy that for $1 or you're
RoboCop.
Coming with me.
It's that RoboCop you're coming with game. Me.
You're
coming
yeah.
With me. Yeah, it was already. He would already say, "Girl, come with me," but then the game, "Girl, come with me." Someone in the chat got it. They said Jay Calhoun did say it. There you
excellent.
Go, RoboCop.
Nice oh, job. Good job, JC Calhoun. Excellent.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Nice job. I'd never played that. I don't think I've heard it, but I've never played it.
Yeah, I, played
arcade?
It. I didn't play it.
Arcade.
I didn't
game
play
or...
it back in the day, but I think I played it retro like.
Yeah.
A couple years back.
Arcade or home thing?
I think it was a MAME emulator that I did it on.
So probably arcade then. RoboCop Arcade. Let me just see what that looks like.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was the World Revision 4.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, there's a long play of it in there.
You're maiming with me.
Yeah. Drop your whipper. I like when he goes, "What's your name, son?"
It's funny because he's a robo man.
He's a robo man. That is so true. All right. Well done. That was awesome. I enjoyed that one a lot. Almost as much as this. Time for us to do your emails. Boopshow@gmail.com. Boopshow@gmail.com. Last week, Brian said he had a bunch of cool new iPad games to talk about. Well, we have a listener who has a recommendation himself.
All right.
This is from Chris Varley, not to be confused with Chris Farley. He lives in a car down by the river.
He says,
great iPad games. I stumbled across this little guy a few years ago. Micron simpler looking puzzle. I don't know what that means. Micron simpler looking puzzle. Anyway,
Micron.
I had a good time solo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. Then it got tough, and I asked my friend to help. Before I knew it, the entire household was taking cracks at these little puzzles together. Highly recommended. All right, so we'll check it out.
I wish you hadn't derailed my mind to go down that whole path right away with the rest of his.
Yeah, because
thanks a lot.
It got a lot worse as you went there.
Yeah, right.
But
thanks for that, Chris. I'm going to try that. Micron.
Yeah, got another recommendation here from Andrew. Says, hey, Scott, you really should put the Boop Show email address on the site. What? It's on there, isn't it? Oh, whatever.
I don't know. Is it?
It says I couldn't find it on the mobile site, at least. Anyway, I'll go check that. Anyways, I just listened to you talk about how much you like deck building games and how you're waiting for someone to nail the art and combat. Behold, Night of the Full Moon, Android and iOS. He gave us the Android link. He says he knows it's available as a great business model and excellent replayability. I looked it up. It's only $1. But for some reason, the App Store has locked me out of purchases, and I can't figure out why. Something's wrong. Yeah, I got to call support and see what's up. It's like some kind of software glitch or loop. Anyway, yeah. This looks great, like totally up my alley. I'm going to get it. It's Night of the Full Moon.
Yeah, I like it. This is free, right? But then you got your add-on little microtransactions, or you can...
Yeah, you can buy...
Oh, it's 99 cents, looks like.
Yeah, okay, it's $1. It's $1. I like that.
DLC, yeah.
I like $1. I can give you $1.
I'll do $1. I'll buy that for $1.
Final email from, and thank you for that, Andrew. Email from Sarah, who wrote in, says, Scott and Brian, on the latest show, Scott mentioned he hates using discs and is saving money by not using them. That got me to thinking about my DVD/video disc usage, and I realized...
We read this last week.
No, we didn't.
But thank you, Sarah.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. Talked about the library, and I said, hey, you know what? I do the library.
Yeah, well, purchase request. Didn't we already do this one? Wait, I think you're right.
Or maybe we didn't.
Oh, we did. Did we do this?
Yeah, we did this because I talked about my library.
Since the library's prepaid anyway, no opt-out. Oh!
Don't forget to go to your local library. We mentioned it last week. If your local library probably has video games and DVDs, maybe even some Blu-rays.
Gosh dang it.
And you can pick them up for free. And well, you got to take them back, but still.
I've done that twice this week. That's a bad sign. Where's Freddie Hetty or whatever his name is? He's right. We are getting old. All right.
We're getting so dang old.
Please send us your emails. We'd love to get some more of these. Boopshow@gmail.com. That is boopshow@gmail.com. And better yet, send us your voicemails. I got a bunch of new voicemails, but I don't know if any of them are Boop Show. Should I check? I can look right now.
No, let's just play some voicemails.
All right, let's see what happens here. I haven't done this. All right, let's give this first one a shot. See what this is.
Deja Boop.
Hey there, Frog Pants. This one's either for... TMS or Film Sag.
Nope. That one's not
it. We'll take it.
Let's try this one. Whoops.
Hey, this one is for TMS.
Nope, same guy.
Hey, Scott. Brian. I'm calling for TMS.
Nope, wrong Brian. Let's try this one.
Hey, Scott. This is a continuation for my last message. Brody here from Clearfield. TMS.
Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah, shoot.
Yeah, TMS too.
Dang it. I should have checked these before. This is really...
Hello, I am Jack. I am 11 years old, and I'm a big fan of the Boop Show. I was just
wondering,
what is your favorite game and movie? Thank you. See ya.
Oh, that's my favorite call ever. I'm so glad
that. Play it again, because I kind of talked over top of it. Right, play it again.
Hello, I am Jack. I am 11 years old, and I'm a big fan of the Boop Show. I was just wondering, what is your favorite favorite game and movie.
Okay, favorite game and movie. Also, Zach, 11 is the greatest year you'll ever be.
Right.
Enjoy it because it is the greatest time of your life. Nothing matters yet.
Right.
Girls don't matter. School doesn't matter. None of those minefields are set up yet. You don't have to worry about anything. It's all about having fun. You can still go play with action figures. 11 rules. It's the best.
So much. Agreed.
I'm jealous of it, of Zach. All right. Anyway, what's the point? Oh, he wants to know our best movie and video game.
Okay. Right. My favorite.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my favorite. One of my favorite movies of all time.
I don't have a list where I have a perfect. I do not have a number one, a number two, and a number three. I have a bunch of movies I would put all up in there together. There's too many movies. So if you're gonna, you're not gonna do that either, right? You can't pick a number one. All right.
One of my favorite movies is gotta be Ghostbusters. And one of my favorite things to do is try every Ghostbusters game that comes out because they all suck, but they all also are kind of cool. I don't know why.
I love Ghostbusters also.
I love the Ghostbusters. Every time a game comes out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the best game ever. And I'll play it. And I'm like, eh, it's fun, but usually it's short fun.
Yeah.
And that's been true just about all the way through for me.
I can see that. Well, then that counts as both your favorite. But no, what's your favorite video game then?
Oh, my favorite video game. I mean, oh my gosh. So many favorites. Wow. Man, I've put so much time into Quake. It's hard not to say that either that or Age of Empires is not my spirit animal because both of those games I've put so much time in. Now, I'm not saying that if you ask me right now, Ryan, what do you want to play?
Yeah.
I probably would not say Quake or Age of Empires. I'd probably say something else. But I would say those games have – yeah, those games really had touched me the most, I think.
Too hard to pick a number one on either of these categories. Yeah. So I'm going to say – Mad Max Fury Road is number one for me on movies.
No brainer.
Love that movie. And then video game close to number one or somewhere in that mix. The game I think about the most just had such an enormous, so many games have had an impact on me, but I'll never forget what Mario 64 felt like when I played it the first time.
Oh God.
So I remember thinking this is the whole different. We're all in a new land now. This is all different now. And it was the most genius game. Oh my gosh.
Mario that was a great question, so but I'm with Scott. I mean, we are lovers of it. Obviously, we do Film Sack and we do The Boop Show, both of them. We love movies and we love video games, and it just gives me joy to play and watch and consume that stuff. Love it.
Also, Zach is rad, and he should know it. And tell your parents, if they don't think you're rad, we know you are, so you are. Also, Brian loves Choplifter. Loves Choplifter.
I kind of like Choplifter, believe it or not. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I was thinking you were annoyed by Choplifter. I don't know why.
No, I like Choplifter.
Would you play a game based on Minority Report? Would you do that?
I would absolutely play a game based on Minority Report. I watch a TV series based on I do all of that just so I can, you know,
so you can,
meh. So I can just go, meh, meh.
That's it for the show and your emails. Please send us your emails and your voicemails. We'd love to read and hear them. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Boopshow@gmail.com. You can also call us 801-471-0462. Be like Zach and send in your questions. That's 801.
Was it Zach or Jack?
Zach is what I got out of it. Wasn't it Zach? I'm pretty sure I heard Zach. Here, let's try it one time. Let's hear the top. I can tell you.
Hello, I am Jack.
See, that's Zach.
I thought I heard Jack. Whatever, Jack or Zach. Zach.
ZJ. Be like him. 801-471-0462. Yeah, we'd love that. Boopshow@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @Boopshow. Boopshow.reddit.com is our Reddit page. Brian, do you have any miracle things to say before we go? You always say, I'm going to play video games. Do you have anything else?
But I am because I'm on vacation this week, and I am going to play some video games.
Everyone should podcast like you, where they look like they're doing a stand-up or a concert.
Right, it's a no-brainer. Well, I got a stand-up. I got a standing desk.
Yeah,
and I moved my swing arm into the bedroom because you know that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have another mic in there, so I just said I'm going to just use my stand, and it's actually pretty comfortable when you're standing up because it gives me something to lean on.
Yeah,
kind of do this.
I like it too. Don't change. It's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like steam.
Me no like it.